Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalms. We'll be reading the 19th Psalm of King David. That begins on page 737 of your companion Bible. So if you'll turn there to Psalm 19, that will be our scripture reading this Sunday morning. Psalm 19, hear now the word of our Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen and amen.
Good morning, everyone. This is, of course, Mother's Day, and I want to address that subject this morning under what I'm calling the calling of women. One of the basic truths to be kept in mind in study of the scripture is the thought of order. You see it throughout scripture, this idea of God has a certain order of things. And with regard to the family, it is particularly important. And I want to take a look at that with regard to the family and with regard to mothers and so forth. If you'll look with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's on page 1769 is where we will begin. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning on page 1769 in a companion Bible. And in that fifth chapter, we'll start with verse 22, and we'll read a couple of verses into chapter 6, where it says, beginning with verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands, so let the wives be so to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Here we see an insight into part of the order that God has put forth with regard to the family and his wisdom. He has determined that each person, each part of creation is fitted for a particular place in the overall arrangement. And it behooves us to know this and live accordingly. Such order is the basis for determining the right relationship between man and woman. They both have a place in God's purpose and plan because male and female created he, both of them, each to their own purpose. Now, Scripture reveals a lot about this order. And looking at it more on a larger scale, there's an order that starts with God, and it includes the angels. The angels are there in the hierarchy next to the sun and are seen to be messengers and ministers. They have their particular function within God's arrangement and his order. They are associated with the nation of Israel. They were there at the giving of the law. They figure prominently in the second coming of Christ. They are mentioned frequently in those parts of Scripture where Israel is dominant. And it's quite obvious that there is an order and a reason to their existence and their position. Also, in this order of the universe, in God's purpose and plan, we find the principalities and powers are mentioned. These beings are seen in relationship to Christ as head over all things. Christ being far above all, even above principalities and powers. He is the head of principalities and powers. And these beings, of course, are associated with things in heavenly places. You can read about that if you back up in chapter 3 here in the book of Ephesians. Finally, we come to some of what we read here in Ephesians, the family and mankind's relationship to the earth. Man was created first, Adam was created first, and he was given dominion over the living things. Anything that moveth on the earth, Adam was given dominion over. Mankind, male and female, were to subdue the earth. The Hebrew word for that is kibosh, to subdue, and has the connotation, if you look at that word in the Hebrew, has the connotation of to keep under order, to keep things in order, and thereby suggesting the possibility that if mankind did not, that disorder might ensue. And of course it did when sin entered. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 14, it's on page 950. We'll see there in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, what actually has occurred when disorder comes into being. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Here we see Satan circumventing the order that God had put in place, and that was that the Son, that Christ was to be the head of all principality and power. Now, we see the effects of that still today as a result of someone trying to get out of the order in which God proposed and arranged. And of course, Satan, he came along and he deceived Eve with regard to that same idea of order. Now, the organizational chart, if that's what I would call it, this organizational chart from God and the angels and principalities and powers and mankind, eventually we get on the organizational chart to the calling of women. Turn, if you will, to Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians chapter 11. Page 1714 in the Companion Bible. Corinthians chapter 11. And I guess I should tell you 1 Corinthians because I'm over in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think I'm right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, before I read this, I want to talk to the women. Don't get out of joint here. You need to stay with me before I read this verse. Because now we've come down in the order of things from the angels, the principalities, from God, angels, principalities, mankind, and we come to women on the organizational chart. Look in that 11th chapter to verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Here, the relationship between man and woman is touched upon. And it is seen that each part of the creation, the Creator Himself, Christ, has a position to play and a part in God's arrangement. And man has a certain position, woman has a certain position, but too much confusion as a result of this verse comes about, indicating that women are not equal to men. And that simply is not true. And therefore, we need to dig into this a little bit further to see what in the world has in our thinking within society that women are not as good as men as a result of some things like this that you find in Scripture. There's one important distinction that needs to be made, and that distinction is to be made between man and woman as individuals and not man and woman with respect to their positions. It is because this distinction has not been made in times past that so much confusion has risen as to the equality of women with man. And then, as a result of that, disregard for what God has said with regard to this order of things in His universe. You see, the position of Scripture is not that man is superior to woman, but that he has been given a different position. Let me give you an example. Tim and I work in the same organization. My position is CEO. Tim's position is Chief Financial Officer. If you look at the organizational chart, that would put me in a position that's above Tim. But you know what? That doesn't make us unequal. Tim has a lot of abilities that I don't have. Tim has a master's degree in business I don't have. So my position is above him, but my equality is not. In fact, it may be the reverse. He may be unequal to me in that he may be better than I am. He may be more intelligent than I am. He has more education than I have. And that's the way it is with men and with women. A man happens to have this position in the order of God's arrangement where he is to be the head over this arrangement, especially with regard to the family. Therefore, a proper understanding of the position given by God to man and woman will clarify the equality question. However, to appreciate the distinction or the position, it's necessary to first look at the original creation. In the Genesis record, there are two actual records of the creation. The first is the account of the creation of man that belongs to the generations of the heavens and the earth. This is in chapter 2. But the second account of the creation, the second account is in chapter 5, and is with regard to the book of generations of Adam. In the first account, it's only noted that God made mankind male and female. But in the second account, he brings out the fact that Adam was formed and then Eve was formed for him, and it's described as a helpmeet. Now, I've looked at this helpmeet, and it's not exactly a real good translation. As a matter of fact, it's not the translation that needs to be spoken of in a mixed audience. It's a poor translation, a helpmeet. If you tear that apart and look at it in the Hebrew, it basically is more translated a help likened to himself, a help corresponding to him, and an equal position between the two. A help like unto himself. And interesting, everything else was formed of the dust. Adam was formed of the dust. The animals were formed of the dust. Creation. But when you get to Eve, she came from Adam. You know what that says? We know today, she had the same DNA as Adam. You know what? That made them equal. She would have exactly the same intelligence. Exactly the same thing as Adam. she was not, she could no way in be unequal because she was from him. Now the scripture reason for the creation of woman is made clear in the second chapter of Genesis. Let me read this. It says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a help like unto himself." Well, help for what? What did Adam need help with? Well, Adam was incomplete for the purposes of God. And the peculiar calling of woman cannot be properly understood apart from her relationship to man. And by her peculiar calling, I mean her calling as a woman, not her calling as a Christian, not her calling to his body, the church, her peculiar calling as a woman. She was originally built as a complement to man. But because he was inadequate to the purpose at hand. So, what was the first commandment then? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's what they were charged to do. That was the first commandment. Now, both male and female are, of course, involved in this, but the burden falls on women. And here we see this in this special calling. It has something to do with the purpose of the ages, the calling of motherhood as tied to the earthly purpose of God. We see it in the name Eve. Adam named Eve. The name Eve means life or life spring. And in the earthly calling where Israel dominated, the production of a seed was of prime importance. Israel was to be a great nation, and that included, among other things, numerical strength. Furthermore, the great honor which has been bestowed upon womanhood has been made known from the very earliest of time. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Most of you probably know what this verse is. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. There Moses writes, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Why? She was carrying the promised one. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of woman. And herein lays the great privilege and blessing of womanhood and motherhood. She was to be the vehicle where the Word became flesh. And the whole world would one day be occupied, as well as those in the heavenly places, with seed of motherhood. God's purpose and plan for the ages included that there be people, not only for the kingdom, but for those heavenly places where there is a position for the church, his body, there in the heavenlies. And so, women, never underestimate your charge as it relates to the purpose and plan of the ages. It has been one of the keys. It could not be done by Adam. Adam had a position. He was formed first. He was to subdue. But he could not multiply and replenish the earth to create human beings for his purposes throughout the ages. Never consider your position under man as inferior and unequal. It simply is not true. Motherhood is the pinnacle of God's statement to the equality of women. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your marvelous plan, the arrangement, the order that you have set forth to accomplish your purpose and plan for the ages. We're grateful for how mothers fit into that. We thank you for them. We're also thankful for your Son, Christ Jesus, who came into the world as a result of mothers. The salvation that we have in him, we're grateful for that. Pray now especially for these mothers as they continue with their special duty of raising children and more mothers for your purpose and plan. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.